Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on RadioMD, Podcast Health, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you very much for doing so. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Roizen, and this is 1270B. The Bs are always great guests, and we have one lined up for you today, something I didn't expect to talk about ever because I didn't think it was a big problem, but it apparently is a much bigger problem than I knew of. We're talking to Dr. Nikolai Sapko, who's an MD, PhD, who did some training at my home institution, the Cleveland Clinic, both old and current institution, Cleveland Clinic. I don't think they fired me yet. Dr. Sapko is the chief operating officer and chief scientific officer. So I'm going to find out what both of those did. His MD is from Case Western Reserve University, where I am also a professor, so there's a conflict there. And his PhD from the Stern Cell Biology Institute at Case Western Reserve. He did complete surgical training and urology at Johns Hopkins, which is ranked number 2, only topped by the Cleveland Clinic and occasionally by Northwestern. In any case, he has a wonderful pedigree, obviously. So what got you into the skin after training in urology, Dr. Sapko?
Yeah, so yeah, it was a fun story. You know, as you can see, I've always been interested in regenerative medicine, did all my PhD work there at the Lerner Institute in cardiovascular stem cells, actually, and then went on to urology. I was always very interested in surgery and ways of really implementing regenerative medicine into surgery. You know, we have a unique perspective of sort of interacting the body directly and understanding how we can leverage not only surgical tools, but biological tools to provide options for patients. And while at Hopkins, focusing on uroepithelial regeneration, you know, there's a lot of need for that and reconstruction and things like bladder cancer and whatnot, ran into two colleagues who were plastic surgery residents. We're all interns together, also focused on epithelial regeneration. And we sort of connected and realized, you know, a lot of the technologies overlap. And those two individuals actually left residency to start the company. I stayed on residency to finish. And then shortly thereafter, I have been working with Polarity ever since 2018, trying to really bring this mission home. Very exciting to be involved, as we'll talk about, a huge need for skin regeneration approaches. And always been interested in translating that bench to the bedside. And this has been a phenomenal and fun opportunity to do that.
How big an issue is skin regeneration? Are you finding alternatives to real skin for skin? What do you mean by what you're doing, alternatives to skin? And you also have a key study that has occurred. So as chief operating officer, you should feel very proud, I guess. Tell me what the job of chief operating officer is, and what's the job of chief scientific officer, and then how big a problem is this?
Yeah, so you started off as chief scientific officer, really developing the technology alongside the other founders. Then, you know, as you can imagine, it's a pretty sophisticated manufacturing process. And so that naturally led into overseeing operations and making sure that, again, that sort of bench technology makes it to the bedside and all the processes that have to occur with adhering to current good manufacturing practices and things of that sort. We're really trying to focus on wounds that aren't going to close on their own. Skin is a phenomenally regenerative organ. It's the third most regenerative organ in our body. We're generating 10 million cells a day, which means we're shedding 30,000 to 40,000 cells a minute. And the skin has a phenomenal inherent regenerative ability. However, we all have seen those wounds where the skin is overwhelmed. Things like large burn wounds or maybe a traumatic accident where a lot of skin gets removed. And then additionally in chronic wounds. And these are things that Mother Nature has simply not evolved to deal with that we are now facing. And a lot of approaches have focused on trying to support the healthy skin that remains in place surrounding the wound to try and get that healthy skin to close over the wound as fast as possible. But in certain wounds, that's just not going to happen. You know, if the wound's very large, that process cannot naturally occur fast enough before things like scarring, desiccation, infection set in. And in chronic wounds where the wounds are just biologically bankrupt, the cells are just simply exhausted and are no longer able to really recapitulate that response. So current options, you know, surgically are doing things like split thickness skin graft, where you're sort of stealing from Peter to pay Paul, shaving the top layer of skin.
We gotta make sure people understand what that is. So when you say Peter to pay Paul, you're taking the skin from another area of the body and moving it there. And the skin has a lot of nerves. And so it's a pretty darn painful procedure. So you use some strong medicine to try and blunt the pain when you do that. And skin burns, skin injuries, because of all the nerves to the skin are pretty painful. So you're also reducing pain when you're doing this. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As you said, when you're doing a traditional split thickness skin graft, you're just taking that top layer of skin, and you know, 1/1000th of an inch usually. And the reason for that is that the really potent skin stem cells are deeper down below. So they're able to regenerate that skin that you took off. But as you described, you leave like a large road rash on the patient that is incredibly painful. And then you're transferring just the top layer of skin over to, let's say, that burn wound. And that doesn't have those deeper regenerative, more potent stem cells. And so although you'll get an epithelial covering over that burn wound, you don't get the more pliable dermis and hypodermal fat, which gives a lot of the function to the skin in terms of pliability and flexibility and things of that sort. So you're able to get that first goal of just achieving closure, but you're not getting that full thickness skin functionality of nerve sensation. So wounds that have been treated with split thickness skin grafts are often less sensate. They're not able to sweat as well. So patients will have very dry skin and can overheat if they have large areas treated that way. And there's just a limit to that technology.
What are you doing to ameliorate that process?
What we focused on, and those of us involved had backgrounds in stem cell biology, regenerative medicine, tissue engineering. And what we did was say, we want to start with skin as our source material. Skin has this great regenerative potential, but how can we optimize it to do what it's not evolved to have done? And so in our looking at the biology is understanding there's multiple cell types at play in this beautiful orchestration that our skin goes through in that natural healing response, and that you can't just focus on a single cell type like the keratinocyte or just the fibroblast, but you really need all of these cells working in orchestration. So what we focused on was being able to take a small full thickness harvest from the patient. So this is, you know, think about getting a molar sized, where this can be done in the office, not in the OR, like a split thickness skin graft. The patient can be.
So how much do you take again? How much?
We're roughly taking about a 3 by 1 centimeter ellipse. So kind of a little bit larger than like an almond. So a pretty small size. You know, this does require a couple little sutures to close that wound. But because it's just a small full thickness wound, it's actually less painful than like that large road rash that you would take in a split thickness skin graft. And then that can be done in the doctor's office. This doesn't require general anesthesia. That sample then gets sent to our facility in Salt Lake City, where we process it into our product, which is comprised of these multicellular units, where we're keeping all of these important stem cells into play with the other supportive extracellular matrix and cells like the keratinocytes and fibroblasts, and making these little units almost like you can think of as like a skin organoid, and then getting it onto the patient. And one of our aha moments was, you know, if you want to get all these cell types in play, it's very difficult to try and culture them in plastic, in vitro, because they all have different media requirements and culturing conditions. So instead of trying to disassemble Mother Nature, grow it outside of the body, and then reassemble it, one of our aha moments was we can make these multicellular sort of organoid-like units and get it back to the patient as soon as possible, because their body, their wound, is going to be able to grow their cells much better than we could ever do on plastic.
So how fast do you get it back to the patient? You take it out, do you put it right in immediately?
Yeah, so it's usually we're getting the product back to the provider within about 4 days. Usually these patients are being seen normally in a weekly cadence, you know, because they're having their wounds dressed and looked at. So usually we'll get the tissue, we get it back to them in about 4 days or so. The provider then usually will see that patient a week after that skin was removed and then applies the product to the wound. The product comes in a needleless syringe, and it kind of looks like oatmeal, where you have these, you know, again, these multicellular units, which are less than 2 millimeters in diameter in sort of an extracellular matrix. And then that gets spread onto the wound, and then that just gets smeared or evenly distributed across the wound. So a very easy application.
So it's actually you're taking a solid and making it into a spray almost, and that actually works?
Yeah, exactly. The mechanism of action that we've supported, you know, as part of our submission to the FDA is really threefold. One is that these multicellular units, because they're autologous, and this is really important, that these are the patient's own cells. Because if you're providing someone else's tissue, it's going to reject like an organ, like a kidney. So we're taking these cells from the patient and they're autologous. Additionally, we're taking it from a healthy area of skin. So we're getting healthy autologous cells. And even in that small harvest, there are millions of cells and stem cells in there. And then these multicellular segments are able to go into the wound bed and they actually engraft, because they're autologous, they actually create blood vessels in 48 to 72 hours through angiogenesis, and then they proliferate and spread to kind of close that wound from the inside out.
So one of your secrets must be how to separate out that, if you will, the 3x1 almond size skin into millions of little segments that are, if you will, vertically enough attached so that they have all the layers with them.
Correct. Yeah. Skin has evolved to be a very tough and pliable layer. You know, it's our external suit, the largest organ in our body. So working with skin is challenging. Dissociating skin to get to the cells without destroying it or manipulating too much is really a balance. And then additionally, as part of our process, we stimulate the cells. So the way we like to think of it, especially in a chronic wound where you have this biologically bankrupt wound, which is open for months, you know, sometimes years, and is unable to close, we're getting the healthy, fresh skins from another area of the body, activating them, and it's like putting fresh troops into the middle of the wound that can engraft. And then additionally, that third mechanism of action is they're actively releasing growth factors and chemokines to stimulate to that wound bed to also get those surrounding marginal cells to really grow and advance into the wound. So you're enhancing that outside in while you're also closing it from the inside out with those fresh troops.
That's fascinating. Now, what's the company? Now, although most of our listeners are interested in the medicine and the science behind this, there are a few probably who have some investing dollars. What's the name of the company, and is it still private? Is it public? What's happened?
Name of the company is Polarity Bio. We're located in Salt Lake City. We are a private company currently. We're always excited to hear from people.
But you can follow it at polaritybio.com. You've got to tell me, since I'm interested, what's the difference between a chief, and pretend I know nothing, what's the difference between the chief scientific officer and the chief operating officer of a biotech firm?
Chief scientific officer, as the name implies, is often focused on the science and technology, you know, behind your therapeutic. You know, we also focus on things like designing the clinical trials and executing the clinical trials, as there's a lot of crosstalk from taking that bench therapeutic to the bedside. And then from a chief operating perspective, that's a little bit more of the nuts and bolts of running a company. Things like building out the manufacturing. We do all of our manufacturing in-house. Because it's a biologic drug, you have to do a lot of testing on the product before it gets sent out the door. Things like testing for purity, making sure that the right cell types are there, making sure that the cells are alive, making sure that the cells are activated, and designing all of those tests, which really for a product like ours become very sophisticated molecular biology tests as well. And so having those designed again on the bench and then translating that to the everyday operations of being able to get that product out the door, because every single patient is their own product. So we're not just making 100,000 pills that could put into bottles and then sent to people. Every single patient, their product coming in has to go back to them. And so it's a very unique, really bespoke, personalized medicine that we're developing that has unique manufacturing constraints.
Excellent. I should tell something about our sponsors. We're sponsored by Life First Naturals, the makers of Trubiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and Dye Rescue. Go to their website, lifefirstnaturals.com, to see the randomized double-blind controlled trials of their product, especially the Trubiotics. And For Youngevity, the number 4youngevity.com. You can go to their website and sign up for the free newsletter. And I should mention our A segments, the last A segment and today's and next week's, and for the next few weeks, I'm going over the 40 things that have been shown in recent studies to reduce your risk of dementia. And I do want to just highlight that 40-year study on coffee and black tea came out this week. Last week, the study on speed of processing games and how it turns on the gene that repairs neurons and consequently decreases dementia risk by 25% from just 10 hours of practice over a 10-year period, 1 hour a year on average. We've been talking with Nick Sopko, who is an MD, PhD with a Cleveland heritage. And although the company is located in Salt Lake City, he is the chief scientific officer and chief operating officer and a director of Polarity Bio. Polarity Bio, I appreciate, Nick, you coming on and talking to me because I know very little about skin. So thank you very much. I should ask you as a parting question. Everyone always takes collagen for their skin or gelatin, which is the purified form of collagen or a form of collagen. Is there any good data that we should all be continuing that?
You know, that's a great question. I, full disclosure, take collagen every morning in my tea for that very reason. You know, the data is pretty suggestive. I don't think anyone's done any true randomized control trials because, you know, who's going to spend all that money for that when it's already so readily available. But I think it's something that's low risk. And, you know, the data suggests that it's good for skin and hair. You know, we know from our product, there's a lot of collagen in it, collagen 1 and 3 specifically, which, you know, a lot of your collagen supplements have. So it makes sense.
There is good randomized controlled trial that the gelatin with vitamin C does increase the strength of tendons and ligaments. So I do that as well. Nick, thank you very much. Polarity Bio is the innovator in this skin solution. Thanks again. This has been 1270B, 1270B, you, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. But especially thank you, our 50,000 people who download us every week. You're the reason we do this. Tell your friends about us if you like us. Thanks again.